is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, start the season off strong this October with scary good deals of up to $4,000 off the top training solutions from our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Prepare your team for success this preseason with spooky savings of up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish Basketball's shooting machines designed for schools and programs. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Ben Stelzer, men's basketball assistant coach at Michigan Tech, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Hey, coaches, check out our newest sponsor, SportsLab 360. An online platform made up of interactive modules that focus on different tactical concepts, from the basics of reading a screen to specific offenses such as the dribble drive. Especially for our high school coaches out there with such limited practice time with your players, assigning the SportsLab 360 modules to them before practice can save you tons of time from having to stand there and explain these concepts. And you can move more quickly on to the next layer while your competition is still stuck on the fundamentals. As a coach, you can also put customized notes into the player's interactive modules, and you can track how they're scoring on the modules, making it a valuable tool to help identify areas that need development. These guys have had major success in soccer and just recently launched in basketball, and I'd urge all of our listeners to go check them out. Through October and November, you can use the code all lowercase, HOOPHEADS, to save 15% off any SportsLab 360 plan. Head over to www.sportslab360basketball.com to check them out. Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, FastModel is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. FastModel also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. FastModel Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are jumping on to do our NBA season preview. And we have broken the teams down into tiers. And we are going to talk about each one of those tiers. Jason and I will alternate who shares the teams that we have in each tier first. And we'll talk briefly about the teams that we agree upon, and then we'll spend maybe some more time with the teams that we disagreed and figure out why we disagreed and where those teams are going to go. So that's kind of where we're at.
All right. So we're going to start from the top, Mike. We decided we were going to start from the top. So we're going to start from the top. Should I label out the – let's lay out the five tiers.
Yes.
So that everyone understands.
Yes.
The five tiers. So the five tiers are: we can win the NBA championship. We think we can win the NBA championship, playoffs, play-in, and tankathon. Now, some overviews. Mike and I had no discussion about what this was going to be, like, other than we had the five tiers. So I'm just going to go out here and say that I have more tiers, more teams in the, like, up from the we can win, we think we can win in the playoff tiers than is possible to be in the playoffs, because I don't know. I have a few teams, specifically in the Eastern Conference, I was having a hard time, both conferences, I felt like I really had a hard time who was the playoffs and the play-in, Mike. I don't know if you agree with that statement.
I think it depends on how you look at it, right? I think it depends on how you're looking at it and how you view it. So I went back and forth as to how I viewed this. Whether I was looking at it from the vantage point of where does Mike think these teams are going to finish versus what are these teams' internal expectations of where they're going to finish. And I'm guessing that I probably went back and forth even within what I actually ended up doing, where some teams, I think I put them in places where do they think they can finish versus where I really think they will be. And then other teams, I'm like, well, this team I think clearly is going to finish in this tier. So I guess that'll just be something that we'll have to hash out as we have the discussion. So I'll let you lead us off with, okay, we can actually win can the win. NBA championship. Yes.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks are one of those
Dame
teams.
Dame Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yes.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dame Lillard, Chris Middleton. Do I need to say anything else? I think we're good, right?
Like, Brooke Lopez.
Like, that team's clearly Brooke Lopez. Yeah. So, I mean,
have you seen or heard anything coming out of Milwaukee? It sounds like, and I haven't watched any Bucks preseason games, but it sounds like everybody who has watched the Bucks play, that the Dame Giannis pick and roll looks to be as devastating as what people projected it to be on paper.
Well, just don't look at the stats from tonight, Mike. Just don't look at the stats from tonight.
It was bad.
Dame was like 0 for 8 from the field in the first, like missed 0 for 6 from behind the arc. So,
okay, well, there
just
you
don't
go.
Look at the stats tonight.
All right. All right. I'll try not to.
But yeah, they look really good, Mike. They look really, really good.
The Bucks are definitely going to be right there, barring any serious injury to any of their four main guys. They don't have a lot of depth. And so I think if you were to lose Dame or lose Giannis, obviously that is devastating. And if Chris Middleton or Brooke Lopez were to go down, I think they'd have a hard time replacing any of their main four guys, which would put a serious dent in their ability to compete for an NBA championship. But if those four guys are healthy, I don't think there's any doubt that they've always been so good defensively. Clearly they've been weakened with the absence of Jrue Holiday and losing him, but bringing in Lillard just plugs a hole in their offense. That's been a problem since this team has become a contender, where what do we do in half court situations where we need a basket? And Middleton kind of has always been sort of the guy they give it to in half court situations to create. And Middleton, I would say, is a maybe slightly above average playmaker from that position. However, I think ultimately what it comes down to is Dame just gives them a dimension in their half court offense that they didn't have before. So yes, Milwaukee is definitely in this tier.
I'm just going to go on to my next team. So the next team that I have in the We Can Win is the Celtics.
Yes, I have the Boston Celtics. Yes.
They have to be in the We Can Win. Okay. All right. I mean, once again, I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot of time on that because we've kind of talked them to death with the trades they made. But yeah, they definitely have to be in the consideration for the We Can Win.
I think when you add Jrue Holiday to this mix, and you and I have had our Tatum doubts discussion over and over again, and the question still is, I think for me, can Tatum take that next step to be in every game, every series, you know, have no doubt that you're going to get whatever 30 and 12 and 6 from him. I don't know if he's ever going to reach that level. I honestly don't. So there was part of me that debated putting the Celtics a tier below this, but I think the reality is that on paper, talent wise, and the fact that Tatum should be just hitting the middle of his prime or the beginning of his prime here at, I think he's 25, maybe. So maybe 26, that I think Boston is poised to be right there at the end of the season. So yeah, Boston has to be in this. We Can Win this. They have to be in that tier.
Okay. So then those are the only two teams, Mike, that I have from the Eastern Conference. Do you agree, disagree?
I agree. Those are the only two teams I have from the East.
Okay. All right. Western Conference. Well, I got to put the Nuggets in there, right?
Correct. I have the Nuggets in there.
The Kevin O'Connor piece, they're trying to build a dynasty.
Calvin Booth coming out and saying it.
Mike, did you read the Kevin O'Connor piece?
I did.
It sounds like they're hoping to build a dynasty, Mike.
Look, you have to hit those back end of the first round draft picks and get lucky with one or two of those guys that they become key rotation players for you. Maybe Christian Brown is the first one of those guys. And then if you look up and down the rest of that roster, they certainly have guys that they're going to be looking to contribute. You're missing Bruce Brown and Jeff Green off that championship team. And so you're replacing them with less proven guys, younger guys. And if you're going to win for a sustained amount of time, yeah, it's nice to have their four key guys wrapped up, which they do, but you're going to need guys 5, 6, 7 in the playoffs to be key contributors. So I think if you start talking about, can the Nuggets be a dynasty? Their core four guys are certainly young enough that they should be able to win for the foreseeable future. It's going to come down to what contributions and how do they fill out the rest of that roster around those guys. Jokic makes it really easy because he's going to make anybody better because of the way he plays and his unselfishness and all those things. And so I think if you look at this season and we talk about these teams in this tier, to me, I still think despite the additions that Boston and Milwaukee made, I still think that Denver has to be the favorite at this point. I have no other teams from the West.
So I have the Suns, Mike, and I honestly believe that the Suns have a chance to win it, despite the fact that they don't play defense. They're not probably going to play a lot of defense. And I think, I think they definitely feel like they can win. They could theoretically win. I mean, listen, we don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline when it all comes said and done. There might be a trade to be had for them. I don't know what that trade would be. But I'm willing to say that they could win it. Do I think they're going to win it? No. But I think in the West, they are the second best team. And so I think they have to be given they could win it if things shook the right way. Tell me why I'm crazy.
All right. I mean, okay. I think you're crazy because one, I just don't think this team is going to defend well enough. That's number one. And then number two, I just think the injury history of Durant and Beal leads me to believe that the odds of those two guys playing 2 straight months of NBA playoff basketball at the highest level, I just don't see that happening. Now, look, Durant was very, very good in some of those games against the Nuggets. In fact, he was great last year in the playoffs in the games that Phoenix won. But as the Nuggets kind of went through that series, it felt like Durant's production, what you needed from him, what you wanted from him, what you thought you would get from him, wasn't exactly what you got. And he's another year older. He's had a major injury pretty much every year for the last 3 or 4 seasons. So to think that he's going to go through this year and not have one of those injuries seems far-fetched. Now, I do think that they did a pretty good job of building the roster with
Bol Bol's on your team, man. You can't get Bol. You got to get Bol Bol on the team.
Bol Bol's on the team. Look, I've said it. I mean, I don't know how many times I have to say it. There has to be something. There has to be something going on behind the scenes with this guy because the talent level to me is off the charts. I just don't see how a team doesn't figure out a way to develop this guy and utilize him. But who knows? Maybe Phoenix is the place. But I do like what they did with the rest of the roster. I think picking up Eric Gordon, just as an example, a guy who probably is going to play. I mean, that guy's going to probably play big minutes for the Phoenix Suns. And for me, it just comes down to I don't trust the injury history of this team, and I just don't trust the fact that I don't think they're going to play very much defense. And although, again, like I said, they picked up some nice guys that I think can help them in the regular season especially, but I just don't know when you start looking at the playoff rotation of this team. I just don't think defensively, when you start talking about trying to guard the Denver Nuggets, whose offense, sure, maybe it's a point or two less than what Phoenix is going to put up, but I just think Denver ended up being the number one defense in the playoffs last year, which didn't necessarily jibe with their regular season ranking. But I don't know that this Phoenix team has the capability of stepping up in that way that Denver does. And I certainly think that Denver's offense is going to punish these guys if and when they do meet up in the playoffs. And I don't think they're going to stay healthy. I don't think they're going to play enough defense. And that's why I had them down in the tier of they think they can win it, but I really don't think they can because of those two flaws.
Okay. I mean, you make all fair points. I felt like I had to include two Western Conference teams.
Yeah, it's fair. Look, I mean, I think most people would probably tell you that Phoenix is a real contender for the NBA championship. I personally don't think that they're going to get there, but certainly they, within the confines of their front office, their coaching staff, their players, I'm sure they believe that they can win the title. That's why I had them in the "we think we can win it" category, because I don't think they really can. Fair. I don't think they're going to win it. So,
all right. So I guess that's a good jumping off point. So you're going to take over for the who you have in the "we think we can win" category.
Okay. So I had Phoenix, which
how
we
many,
already covered.
How many teams do you have in this outcome?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. That's it.
And one of those teams is the Suns.
So,
okay, I think I know which one you on my list you don't have in your team. Okay. Okay.
So how many do you have?
I have 4 as well.
Okay. All right. So I have in "we think we can win it," I have the Golden State Warriors.
I do. I have them as well.
Won it 2 years ago. Steph still at as close to his peak as a 35-year-old guy possibly could be. Klay probably be at least equal of what he was last year, year older, but also a year more removed from the Achilles and the knee injury. So I have Golden State. I have the LA Lakers.
I have the Lakers.
And I have the Clippers. I think this was a hard one for me. I debated the Clippers back and forth. And this is one where I went with the idea of, I'm not sure that Mike believes that the Clippers can win it, but I can almost guarantee that
Mike,
the Clippers and their organization think they can win it. So,
yeah. Well, so I think I went on a different path on this one, on the Clippers. I wasn't approaching it like the organization thought they could get there. I put them where I thought they were going to be.
That's fair.
And you're going to laugh at this. I put them in the play-in category because they're all going to be hurt.
All right. Hey, that's totally fair.
They're all hurt. Like, listen, if you can guarantee that Kawhi and Paul George are going to play 60 games this season, then sure, I'm willing to say that they're probably "we think we can win" / playoff, like, back and forth category. But
you're making almost the same argument that I made for or against Phoenix, however you want to look at it. And I went against my own argument in this case, where I agree. I don't think that these guys are going to stay healthy, but I think I went with, like I said, their thought process of they think they can win it. I don't think they can, but they think they can. So that's why I have them in this category. And that's why I have.
Okay. So you have no Eastern Conference team in that category.
I have zero Eastern Conference teams in that category.
Oh, I totally put the Cavs in this category, Mike.
That they think they can win it.
I think that they think they can win it. Really? I honestly do. I think that they think that they went out and got the two guys that they got. They thought they addressed the needs. They think they're better offensively. I think they believe.
I think they're delusional if they think that.
But we could say that now, but two years ago the Heat were in the finals, and that team wasn't the best team. Last year the Heat knocked off the Bucks, and I know Giannis got hurt, but you're telling me if Giannis gets hurt again or something like that happens to him and the Cavs play them, that we couldn't beat them? We totally could have beat them. They believe that they can win. Do I think they're slightly delusional? Maybe. But I think they believe they can win, for sure.
Okay, if you go back to April 15th of last year, I might agree with you. But after watching this team play against the New York Knicks in the playoffs, whatever confidence I had in their playoff performance, that confidence has completely eroded. And I am now in show me mode with the Cavs, where the regular season is going to be fun and it's going to be exciting and whatever, but I don't care if they win 55 games or 45 games or whatever. None of that is really going to matter to me until I see what this team looks like in the playoffs, because that performance against the Knicks last year in the playoffs was putrid, and it was putrid up and down the roster. The coaching staff was outcoached, and I just don't think that this team, as it's constituted, based on what we saw in the playoffs last year, is ready to contend for an NBA championship. Now, again, we're arguing semantics here because it depends on how you look at it. Do they maybe internally think that they're close, that if things were to break right, they could win an NBA title? Maybe. But I would disagree with that assessment, at least at this point, based on what we saw out of their playoff performance last year. So that's why I would not have them in this category. I had them down in the playoffs category, but keep going. You want to talk more Cavs, or we can go to the next team?
Mike, you're going to laugh at me. This team's delusional, but I guarantee you they think they can win it.
Okay, who?
The Philadelphia 76ers. That's fair. They definitely believe they can win it.
That's fair. That's fair. If you go by the spirit of the category of they think they can win it, I think you're 100% right. I think Philly truly, honestly believes that they can win it. However, let's just say that the Philadelphia 76ers have played 3 preseason games. Our friend James Harden, do you know how many games he has played in so far?
Zero.
Zero. Zero preseason games. So we still have no idea. We're a week away from the season opener, and we have no idea come opening night whether James Harden is actually going to suit up and play for the Philadelphia 76ers. And we can all say whatever we want, but that has to have an impact on his teammates, his coaching staff, as to whether or not he's going to play, and they have no idea if that's about to take place or it's not. And so that team to me is just going to be, it's going to be turmoil all year. I don't trust Embiid. And to me, this team,
so do you have them and the Cavs in the playoffs category?
I have them in the playoffs category, although I seriously debated putting them in the play-in category, but I kept them there. Honestly, on my list of playoffs, they are listed last in that category. So they were the last team that I added to that category, and I debated putting them in the play-in mix.
Okay. All right. And then you have the Cavs in the playoffs.
I have the Cavs in the playoff mix, yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess we're moving to playoffs now, right?
You had 5 teams and we think we can win it?
Cavs, Warriors, Lakers, 76ers.
So you did not have the Clippers. You had the Clippers down in. I got you. Okay. So I'm just trying to keep track so I have an accurate list of what we have so we can revisit our list. I'll add it to the Hoopheads folder. All right. So we're next into the playoff category.
Playoff category. So first team that I have in the playoff category, we'll go. You want to go Eastern or Western Conference first? So we've been given the Eastern Conference love. Let's go with the Western Conference first.
Okay.
I have the Timberwolves in the playoffs.
Mike. I have the Minnesota Timberwolves as a playoff team.
Just Ant's growth, his play this summer, I truly believe playoff. Okay.
I think the combination of Gobert and Towns playing together, figuring it out, if those two guys, especially Towns obviously was out all last year, but if those two guys can stay healthy, I think they'll figure it out. Now, is it going to work and optimize both of those guys and optimize what Anthony Edwards can be? I'm not sure, but those are 3 legitimately good NBA players that have skills that should translate into winning. And I've said it before, I think Chris Finch is a good coach. And I think if all the 3 of those guys remain relatively healthy throughout the season, I think that that's going to be a team that's going to figure it out as the season goes along. And I expect Minnesota to be battling for the 5th-6th spot in the Western Conference.
Okay. I have the Zion-led New Orleans Pelicans in this list.
I have the Pelicans as well in the playoff area. I mean, look.
My thing, once again, is it's all hinged on their health. But I believe that this is where they're going to end up, provided that Zion stays healthy.
If Zion stays healthy,
I think they might even move him up a spot.
Yeah, I think they're definitely a playoff team. I think if you told them Zion was going to be healthy for the entire season and through the playoffs, and that he was going to play in 65 games in the regular season and then be healthy all throughout the playoffs, I think
you might move him up a spot.
I think the Pelicans would tell you that they would feel like they could win the NBA championship. Now, again, I would say that based on their lack of playoff experience, that they would be delusional in that thought. But
I think they would think that if you told them that Zion was going to remain healthy throughout the entire regular season and playoffs. So,
all right. Next, I have another Western Conference. I don't know. I have eight teams in this, by the way, for four spots.
Okay.
Two Western Conference, or four Western Conference, four Eastern Conference. The next Western Conference team, the Thunder. I'm buying what the Thunder are selling, Mike.
I'm in on the Thunder. I don't know why.
Oh, you agree with this?
I have the Thunder in the playoffs.
I think SGA is that good. I think that the ceiling for this team is high. I also think that the floor for this team is low, Mike. I think there's a chance that Chet gets hurt, SGA gets hurt, and the rest of this team just, I mean, I know they got other pieces, but if you don't have SGA, I think this team's floor drops significantly, right? Like,
yeah, of course. I mean,
I know we could say that for any team that you take the best team up, player off the team, but I just don't know that they have the. Like, if Donovan Mitchell goes out, I think the Cavs have a chance to win a game. Do they have a chance to go far in the playoffs? No, but I think they can win a game without Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, so that's a discussion, right? When you start talking about that, so here, let me ask you this question. So I think this is an interesting way of kind of looking at roster construction and thinking about these different teams. So if on the Cavs, if Donovan Mitchell gets hurt and he goes out, you're going to miss him clearly, but you have Darius Garland who kind of does similar things to what Donovan Mitchell does. Versus you look at Oklahoma City, and if SGA goes down, they don't really have a guy. I mean, Giddey.
They don't have Schroeder anymore.
Giddey, right. Giddey can play the point in terms of running an offense in the half court, and he's a tremendous passer, but they're not really similar in the things that they do. Obviously, SGA, much better scorer. Giddey, not really a guy that shoots the ball, has a tremendous amount of skill doing lots of different things, but shooting, not one of his strong suits. And so anyway, I guess my point is that when you look at roster construction, it feels like what you want to have is guys who do different things. And I think this is one of the problems that the Cavs run into is you have Mitchell and Garland who are both small little guards, offensive minded, defensively, especially in the playoffs. I don't want to say complete liabilities, but definitely guys that are not stout playoff defenders. And then on the interior, you have Mobley and Allen who both kind of want to occupy space around the rim. Neither one of them at this point in their career is capable of spacing the floor and shooting. And so, yeah, if Allen goes down, it's not a disaster because Mobley takes that spot. And if Mobley goes down, it's not a disaster because Allen takes that spot. But yet, when all four of those guys are on the floor, it's like you have two guys out that are sort of duplicating what somebody else is already doing or can do versus you look at a team like Oklahoma City and you got, okay, SGA, guy with the ball in his hands. Creative. You got Giddey, the 6'9 point forward. You got Lou Dort, the defensive specialist. You got Chet, who kind of all around is going to block shots, going to play defense, going to be able to score offensively. You got wing Jalen Williams, who's a slasher and does all these different things athletically. And so none of those guys really are duplicitous of the other. And so, yeah, if one guy goes down, you're missing that player archetype. But when you have all five of those guys healthy, which look, any team, you need all your guys to be healthy in order to get as far as you want to go. You don't have that same replication of skills that you do with the Cavs. And so it's just interesting when you start thinking about how you want to put together a roster. And clearly it doesn't matter. I mean, if any team loses one of their two or three best players, their season is probably shot as far as getting as far as they hoped that they
could. Don't tell the Browns that, baby.
There
Don't tell
go.
The Browns that, baby.
I got a good. I'll tell you. I'll share a Brown story with you at the end. Or do you, unless you want me to share it now, or do you want to save
no,
it for
no,
a Brown?
No, we'll save it for the end. Sorry. Okay. No, right. let's keep this train going. We're not even halfway done with this.
All right, save it for the end. So Oklahoma City is definitely. I feel like they're a playoff team.
Okay. The other team that I think they think that this maybe go along your line of thinking, and I feel like they're the teams. Although I know Simmons is way out on them. And I know you're way out on them.
but they probably think they're a playoff team. Who am I talking about in the Western Conference, Mike?
Are you thinking about, I don't know, Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas. Dallas is the team. They think they're a playoff team with Kyrie and
all right, so
Luka.
I went the other way. Sure I have Dallas in the play-in. I have Dallas in the play-in category.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair
– Again, I think it's semantics in terms of how you look at it. This Dallas team, look, Luka by himself, right, is probably a 42-win team, just Luka. And if you get the best version of Kyrie, their offense is going to be really, really good. The odds of you getting the best version of Kyrie for 65 or 70 games seems awfully low based on his track record over the last 6 or 7 years. But you could delude yourself if you're the Dallas Mavericks into thinking, hey, this is really going to work. These guys are going to mesh, and offensively we're going to be really, really good. I just look at the surrounding roster after those two guys and – man, I just don't know if they have enough on either end of the floor, whether it be defensively or offensively, to do what is going to be necessary in order to be able to propel them anywhere past the first round of the playoffs, if they get in at all. I think Dallas, to me, it would be a minor miracle if they were one of the top six playoff seeds in the Western Conference. I think they're much more likely to be fighting to be in spot 7, 8, 9, 10. That's just where I think they're going to fall because I just don't think the rest of their roster is good enough.
All right. So those are my Western Conference teams. Do you have any other Western Conference teams that I did not include?
The Sacramento Kings. I think the Sacramento Kings, based on what they did last year, third seed, I don't see any reason why they would be worse than they were this past year. I think De'Aaron Fox is a guy who still is continuing to be on an upswing, and he obviously had a tremendous season last year, and I think if he doesn't break his finger in game whatever 5 or 6 that he broke that finger against Golden State, I think if he's healthy for game 7, I think that Sacramento beats Golden State and moves on to the second round. I think he's going to continue to get better. The Sabonis Fox pick and roll, especially in the regular season where teams don't have the same amount of time to prepare for that, I think is a really reliable way to build your offense. Keegan Murray, by all indications that he's really improved from his first year to his second year, they're going to get more out of him. I don't see any reason why Sacramento gets worse other than maybe you say that the teams around them in the Western Conference have gotten better. But I still think Sacramento, to me, is a team that they're going to be disappointed if they're fighting for the play-in. I think they view themselves as a surefire playoff team, and I'm not sure I disagree with them. I think they're going to be right there.
I don't know why, Mike. I think it's just all those years of said bad Sacramento teams.
Yeah, it's fair.
I put them in the play-in. I don't believe in them.
That's
fine. I don't know why.
That's fine. And I think it's completely reasonable to think that. But I do say that if you look at – so I have another team in the playoffs that you didn't mention, which now as I'm just looking at my list from the Western Conference. I also have Memphis – as a team that...
Oh, I'm out on Memphis.
Out on Memphis.
Their culture. I don't believe in their culture. You got a guy who's running around with guns all the time. You've got a guy who like fouls people, who better be careful. If he fouls Ja in practice, Ja might pull a gun on him.
Hey, come on, man.
I don't know. Like,
come on, man. Go easy on Ja. It's not that bad.
At least it's bad, Mike.
It's bad, but hopefully it's not that bad. Look, I think you could easily move Memphis down in this category. I think if you were going to ask me, I would probably say, yeah, they're going to be more likely to be fighting for the play-in. But this team has finished second in the Western Conference the last two seasons, I believe. And so to say that they're going to go all the way down to the play-in, now clearly Ja's going to miss 25 games. Jaren Jackson should be theoretically, at least, continuing to get better. I know a lot of people are worried, myself included, about his performance in FIBA and the foul trouble and all those other things. But I think Memphis probably has to be looked at as a playoff team. Now, let me see. I have one. I'm just counting up my teams that I have that are playoff teams, keeping in mind that there are 6 spots. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 10 teams as playoff teams. So I'm not sure how
I have 8. Accurate, so
I'm not sure how accurate my tiers
without
are.
Without the play-in.
Yeah, without the play-in. So that's 10 teams.
That's what I was trying to be somewhat close, but obviously. But your idea of following the way that it, teams perceive themselves kind of makes sense, and it will allow for that. Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's I'm cutting you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's sort of the way I approached it with pretty much all of these teams, except maybe the very top tier. The top tier I went with who I thought could win it, because I think clearly all those teams that we talked about off the top think they can win. But I felt you got down to 3.
So Eastern Conference teams that I have in the playoffs. I have the Bully Ball Knicks.
I have the Knicks.
Okay, I know you have the Cavs, right?
Yes, I have the Cavs in this category. Yep.
I have the Miami Heat.
I have the Miami Heat here. Group.
I have the Atlanta Hawks, even though I don't believe in them. I have the Atlanta Hawks in here.
I do not have the Hawks.
You have them in the play-in?
I have them in the play-in.
Okay, and I have the Indiana Pacers in this spot.
Interesting. I do not have the Pacers in this spot.
I think they're the Sacramento Kings of this year, Mike. I think they're going to perform well in the regular season and then fall apart in the postseason.
They have nice depth.
I really don't know what.
I mean, their team.
They just got dudes, man.
If you look at their roster, they have a lot of guys that can play minutes. And I think when you look at Halliburton, he's going to become a guy that I think a lot of people are going to want to play with. Now, whether they want to go to Indiana to play with him will be another story altogether. But I think Halliburton's going to be a guy that no matter what team he ever plays for or who his teammates are, I think his teammates are always just going to be raving about this guy that, man, it would be great to play, or it is great to play with Tyrese Halliburton. And this team has a lot of play. They just have a lot of guys that can play. And so they're going to have depth. And I think, as you said, regular season-wise, their team makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure that they have the high-end talent to compete with some of the better teams in the Eastern Conference when you start talking about playoff scenarios. But when you're talking about regular season and having depth, and if guys go down and having somebody that can step up and play, I think they have a ton of guys. I mean, their backcourt, you're looking at Halliburton, Mathurin, Hield. They've got Nemhart. I mean, TJ McConnell. I mean, you're talking about there's 5 dudes. Bruce Brown, if you want to think of him as a backcourt player. They just have dudes that, I mean, that's 6 deep in the backcourt. Listen, Mike,
when you have a roster that has 11 guys on it that I know, like their names.
Yeah.
That can play significant NBA minutes.
I just don't think that they're good enough. I think internally they would probably tell you that they would be happy to compete for a play-in spot. Maybe they could sneak into that 6 thing. But I think in the Eastern Conference, I mean, I think you're looking at Bucks, Celtics, Cavs, Knicks. I guess there's still one spot open because I just don't believe in the Philadelphia 76ers. So, but I think most people would probably tell you that the 6 teams in the East are going to be the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Heat. I think those are the 6 teams that most people would have as the 6 playoff teams. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. All right.
So what do you have any other Eastern Conference teams, Mike?
I do not. In that category, I have Cavs, Knicks, Heat, and I have the Sixers in this category. Although, like I said, I seriously debated whether or not to move them down into the play-in category, but I did not.
Okay.
All right,
so you're going to talk about the play-in teams.
Okay.
So now we're down to 2 categories left. We're down to play-in and we're down to tankathon. I have, just so you know, I have 7 teams in the tankathon, Mike.
How many?
7.
Holy cow, man. All right, so I have in the play-in, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have 13 teams in the play-in.
Oh,
you know how many teams I have in the tankathon?
How many?
1.
1?
1. I have 1 tankathon team. 1.
What, right, Portland or the Wizards? The Wizards, right?
The Wizards. I mean, the Wizards have nothing. I mean, they have nothing. I mean, there's nothing.
I got the Hornets in the Tankathon. You got to give me the Hornets. That team. That team.
All right. So wait. All right. So let's do it this way. Let's go reverse order. You give me your Tankathon teams, and let me try to debunk why I think they're not Tankathon teams.
Okay. Well, Wizards we agree on. So we're Wizards. We agree on.
The Wizards have. Who are you building around right now? If you're the Wizards, I mean, they Kuzma,
Jordan.
I mean,
Jordan Poole.
I mean, come
I
on.
I almost call him Jordan Peele.
Oh, I mean that.
Do you know
that,
who Jordan Peele is, Mike?
Jordan Peele.
Do you know who Jordan?
I know the name, but I couldn't tell you what he is or who he is.
He is the Key and Peele guy. He's the Key and Peele guy.
The who?
You know, the sketch. The A.A. Ron. The guy, they used to have that show on Comedy Central. You don't know that show?
I got nothing, man.
He also made a bunch of movies. Okay.
Okay, sounds anyway, good.
So I have the Wizards. I have the Hornets because I don't believe in that team. Listen, you got Bridges again in trouble for whatever reason.
He's not going to play this season, right? You saw what he did, right?
No, what did he do? I didn't see what he did.
He threw.
You want to get into it?
He threw billiard balls at his girlfriend's car as she was driving away.
Was this like after his whole other issue, or is this like
new
the
issue.
Same issue?
This is a new issue. This is a new.
Oh yeah, listen.
This is a new situation. So I'm guessing that Miles Bridges.
Who plays more, him or Kevin Porter Jr. this season?
I mean, I don't think either one. I think Kevin Porter Jr. is more likely to. I saw something about his girlfriend made some statement today, or his ex-girlfriend made some statement today. I can't remember. I think I just saw the headline. I didn't actually read it to know whether she was saying that he was really a good guy.
I'll do some research while I'm talking.
Anyway, I don't think either one of them is likely to play very much, but I would put my money more on Kevin Porter Jr. over Miles Bridges, but that's neither here nor there. Look, here's why Charlotte isn't in the Tankathon. I think if you're Charlotte right now, what you have to be looking at is you have to figure out, can LaMelo contribute to a winning basketball team, or is he just a guy that's a sideshow on a bad team? And yeah, they could tank and they could try to get another high pick, but I think ultimately you've got to figure out, can LaMelo play winning basketball, and is he the guy that you can build around? Is he the number one guy on a good team? And I think if you just tank this season and you don't play hard and you don't try to compete and you hold guys out, one, you're not going to get the answers to whether LaMelo is that guy. And two, at a certain point, if you don't win, you're almost turning him into the exact type of player that you don't want him to become, which is a guy who just kind of goofs around, has a tremendous amount of talent, does some things that are intriguing, but ultimately the things he does don't lead to winning because he's just never been in a winning environment. And
said he didn't hit her, by the way.
Okay. Well, there you go. You're talking about Kevin Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, who knows? I mean, we're not obviously here to speculate about whether he did or he didn't or what he, but the fact remains is that
your dog is though.
Those two guys are not going to, those two guys are not going to play very much. Let's put it that way.
So when I said Tankathon, I was thinking this is where these teams are going to end up at the end of the season, just so you know.
What are their intentions? What are their intentions going into the season?
Okay, well, you're going to like this next one because I despise this team.
Okay.
And I just don't see how they're going to be competitive. I know Cade's back, but I don't believe in the Pistons. Give me a break. Done. They're going to be tanking by the end of the year. Tankathon.
I guess. I mean, maybe by the end of the season they're tanking. They're certainly not starting
out
the season.
And that's the way I approach it, Mike.
They're not starting out the season thinking that they're going to tank. I mean, when you really look at it, now look, they may not win very much, but if I'm the Detroit Pistons, if I'm a fan, I'm not that disappointed with what I have. If Cade Cunningham can be the best player on a good team, it all hinges from there, because I don't think anybody thinks that Jalen Duren is going to become the best player on a good team. I don't think anybody thinks after his first year that Jaden Ivey is going to become the best player on a good team. I don't think anybody thinks that Amen Thompson, right? It's Amen that's with the
Yeah.
He's with the Pistons, and Assur is with the Rockets, I believe.
I'm pretty sure.
So anyway, I don't think anybody thinks that he's going to become the best player on a really good team, but I think everybody likes those three guys and thinks that they have talent and thinks that they can be very good NBA players. So the question then just becomes, right, how good is Cade? And I don't think the answer to that question has come yet. I don't think we know what the answer to that question is yet, but I think Detroit wants to find out. And if they're going to find out, then they have to play guys and they have to compete and they have to try to win games. And, you know, if they're tanking, you're just not going to find out. It's the same thing as with Charlotte. Like, I just feel like they want to find out, like, what is Cade Cunningham all about? And they're not going to tank games. They're going to try to be competitive. Detroit has Assur, by the way. Assur is on the Pistons, and Amen is on the Rockets. So I thought we had it wrong.
Okay, Mike. But, and then this is my last team of the tankathon from the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
And you're going to laugh at me, Mike.
All right.
This team didn't get any better. This team got worse. It lost its second best player, and they did nothing to replace him. The Toronto Raptors, Mike, I'm putting them down. What is this team going to do? Like, they have not gotten any better. They were 500 last year. Like, they're going to be stuck in mediocrity. By the end of the year, fire sale, tank, baby. Just tank. Honestly, Mike, what can this team do to get better with the current roster that it has?
All right, so here's what I'll say to that. So there's two pieces to this. One, as we sat here last year, there was a legitimate debate amongst, I think we had four teams in a particular category in the Eastern Conference. And those four teams were the Knicks, the Cavs, the Hawks, and the Raptors. And I think if you went and looked at national media last year, I think of those four teams, I would say the Raptors were probably maybe a consensus that they were maybe the best or most likely of those four teams to have the best season. And yet they really didn't play very well. But I look at this team, and yeah, I think you're right in the sense that if it doesn't go well, and again, I don't know how you would define well for this particular team, but they definitely have some guys that potentially could be shipped out of town if they wanted to start a real rebuild. But at the same time, if you look at their roster and you have Pascal Siakam, who's been a third team All-NBA guy for several seasons, you've got Ananobi, who teams were willing to trade boatloads of draft picks for last season. You've got Scottie Barnes, who was the rookie of the year, which you and I might disagree with that choice, but the fact remains that Scottie Barnes is a guy who has a lot of talent. What he ultimately is and what his ceiling might be, I'm not 100% sure because of his lack of an outside shot at this point in his career, but Scottie Barnes is clearly a talented player. You still have Gary Trent there. You got Precious Achiuwa. They have some pieces there that are good enough that I don't see them. I just don't see them blatantly tanking. Now, maybe again, as you get to the trade deadline and they're sitting at 11th place in the Eastern Conference, maybe they look around and at that point, Jerry says, yeah, let's pack this thing in and ship these guys off, get some draft picks in, get some younger players, somebody with potential, and maybe we start a rebuild. But it doesn't feel like that is, to me, it doesn't feel like that's imminent just because Masai Ujiri has not typically kind of gutted a team down to the studs, for lack of a better way of saying it. So
okay,
I get it and I could see it, but I don't think it's likely.
Okay, and then I have two Western Conference teams. I have Portland and Houston.
All right, so I'll say this. I mean, Houston, to me, that one's pretty easy to debunk, right? They've been bad for years. They have all these young guys. They brought in two veterans in Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks with the idea that those two guys are going to help them to compete to try to win games. Now, they very well may finish at the back end of the Western Conference. If things go poorly, I could certainly see that. If things go well for the Houston Rockets and their talent meshes with these veteran guys and the trajectory of Jalen Green and Jabari Smith and Shengun and Cam Whitmore and all the other pieces that they have, Tari Eason. I think there's a lot here that if it goes well, I really think this team could be a team that can get into the play-in. And I think Ime Udoka, you can say what you want about him, and obviously we don't know all of everything that went on that caused him to lose his job in Boston. But
yeah,
he certainly did a heck of a coaching job in Boston, and he certainly got the attention of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and got those guys committed and working on the same level as everybody else. And so I think if he could do the same thing with this group in Houston, that to me, this is a team that potentially could take a big step forward this year, just because they haven't been trying to win. I think this year they're going to try to win games, and I think these guys are talented. So I don't see them. Look, they might finish 14th in the West. I don't think that's out of the question, but I don't think they're going to intentionally try to finish 14th in the West. I think they're going to try to compete.
Okay.
And then your other team is Portland, right?
Yeah.
So I think Portland is a case where if you just look at their roster and you look at their guys, this is a team that I would say what I would look at when I look at this team is I would say this is a team that is not very good, but they're also not horrendous. I mean, they have some good NBA players. Jeremy Grant is a good NBA player. Say what you want about DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton was the number one pick in the draft. He's a good NBA player. People don't know what Scoot Henderson is going to be, but people think that he has a lot of potential. Robert Williams, when he's healthy, is a good NBA player. Malcolm Brogdon, when he's healthy, is a good NBA player. Anthony Simons is a good NBA player. Typically, and these guys are all relatively young. They're like young veterans, right? They're not first-year guys or second-year guys. They're not guys who are playing out the string at age 35. They're 24 to 26 years old. And typically, when you have guys in that age range, those guys play pretty well and they tend to stay pretty healthy. So I think if this – look, Portland could just say, hey, we're going to load manage our way through the season and these guys aren't going to play nearly as much as what they should. But if Portland plays the season out, I think there's a good chance, just like with Houston, that they could easily finish last in the Western Conference or 11th in the Western Conference, somewhere in that range. But I don't think they're going to be starting the season with the idea that we're trying to lose games. I think they have too much talent to do that. Now, maybe they trade some more guys and it just becomes obvious that's what they're trying to do. But the roster, the way it's constructed now, has too many good NBA players for me for them to think that they're just going to throw games. I just don't see it.
I mean, all your points are fair. So I have the rest of the teams in the play-in, like.
Right,
so that would be, for me, that would be the Nets, the Bulls, the Spurs, the Magic, the Kings, the Mavs, the Thunder, the Grizzlies, Utah.
All right, so let's
bring the Clippers.
All right, so let's. All right. The Clippers, the biggest disparity between our two category jump for the Los Angeles Clippers.
I mean, right. Mike, I want you to be honest. If Kawhi doesn't play, like if he plays 30 games and Paul George plays 40 games, like you could totally see them being a play-in team, right? In the West?
Absolutely. There's no question. If you asked me, if you put a gun to my head and said, are they more likely to be a team that, when I think of the we think we can win it teams, we're talking about a team that's probably going to finish in the top four in their conference. So if you had to tell me, were the Clippers more likely to finish in the top four or are they more likely to finish in the play-in? I would tell you they're more likely to finish in the play-in.
All right.
So I don't disagree with your take.
Okay, so do you want to go briefly through these teams?
Yeah, let's just talk. Let's 30 seconds on each one. The Atlanta Hawks.
Well, we already talked about the Atlanta because remember I had them in the other one.
Oh, you had them in the playoffs. Yeah, look, I mean, I guess, do you believe in Trae Young? The answer to me is no at this point.
All right. You just rattle them off, Mike. Go ahead.
Orlando, the Orlando Magic.
Oh, they're due. Just like your argument for, the Rockets. I think it's the Magic are due, right? They're due.
They're trying to win. Paolo's good. Franz is good. if either of their two rookies that they drafted.
Fultz played really well the other night, Mike.
Yeah, look, Fultz is, again, one more year removed from his knee surgery. He's a guy who was the number one overall pick. You can say what you want about the things that's happened to him. I just give him a ton of credit for being able to bounce back, even to get his career to the point where it is now. He's a good player. I'm rooting for him. And I just think that if they get anything out of Jed Howard or Anthony Black, who they drafted this year in the first round, if either of those two guys contributes in a meaningful way, I think they have a good team, and I think they're going to be better, and I think they're going to be a difficult team night in and night out for teams to beat. I think they're going to compete at the back end of the Eastern Conference to fight in for that 10 spot and try to get a play in. So I think Orlando has good young talent. I think the future there is pretty bright when you start talking about Paolo and Franz. You got to get the right pieces around those guys, but I think if you do, you got a chance to be pretty good. So
okay, go ahead.
Next team we talked about, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, listen, Bridges is good. This Bridges is a good Bridges, apparently. Listen, the Nets are just going to hang around. I think they've got a decent roster. And they competed last year. The end. I mean, they did a good job competing last year. There's nothing to make me think that they're going to fall apart completely. So that's why I have them there.
Simmons is a swing piece, right?
He played well the other night, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you get what it looks like we've had thus far in preseason, if that's the Ben Simmons that Brooklyn is going to get, where he's a guy who is aggressive and he's healthy and he can play on the defensive end of the floor – I mean, this team has the potential to be a pretty good defensive team, because when you think Mikal Bridges, I would say last year wasn't necessarily a legitimate candidate for defensive player of the year, but I think he was first team all defense. If not, he was certainly second team. So he's one of your better wing defenders in the league. Simmons, when he was in Philly and he was healthy, he was one of the best defensive players in the entire league. Nick Claxton, I think he might have made the second team all defense. If he didn't, he certainly got strong consideration. So you start talking about those three guys who are all kind of versatile defenders, can guard multiple positions. Suddenly you're looking at Brooklyn having a pretty good defensive team. And the question just becomes, what do you get from Ben Simmons offensively? And I don't know if you listened at all to Zach Lowe's pod, but he had Ian Eagle and his son on.
I don't have time for podcasts.
So they're
right
covered.
No time. I teach and then I go coach.
I understand.
And then by the time I'm done coaching, I come home and chase my children around.
There you go. So anyway, they were talking about how Simmons, this and that, how good he's looked. And Zach Lowe said, the only thing I care about is he afraid to get fouled or not? And if he's not afraid to get fouled, then all this stuff could be meaningful. If he's still afraid to get fouled in a regular season, then all this stuff probably doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of what he's looked like to this point. But if Ben Simmons is close to Ben Simmons at his apex, then this team, I think, look, they're not a championship contender by any means, but if you have the best version of Ben Simmons for an entire season with this Brooklyn Nets team, then I think they're solidly a play-in team to me.
All right.
Chicago, next. The Chicago Bulls.
This team, I don't think it got any better. I think I put them in the under category last week. But they're competing. You don't need to pull it out, Mike. We don't need to spend a long time on this. I think they're a playing team.
I think they're a playing team. You have the three veteran guys, right? You have DeRozan, you have Vucevic, and you have Zach LaVine. So those three guys, if they're healthy, those are three good NBA players. They are a team that I think if we start talking about where they think of themselves, I think they probably think, hey, if we have everybody healthy and we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're probably a team that can compete for that sixth play-in spot or that sixth playoff spot. I would say that is probably delusional, but this is a team that if that talent plays to its capability, I think is a team that should be competing for a play-in spot. But I wouldn't want to be a Chicago Bulls fan. Let's put it that way, because they're going nowhere.
Yep.
The Utah Jazz.
They're like in mud.
The Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I have them too. I think they overachieved last year. I think they're probably going to be in a similar situation where if they start the year off well, they can maybe sneak into the regular playoffs, but they've got to be a play-in team. Like, There's just too many teams in the West that have gotten better, in my opinion, for them to. And they're not going to catch anyone by surprise, right? Everyone's going to be everyone's going to be like, think that we can just walk all over that team. So I think they're a play-in team or an opportunity for a play-in team. So, yeah.
Was Markkanen a one-hit wonder, or was the Lauri Markkanen we saw last year what we're going to see from this point forward in his career? I mean, it seems like we're going to see what we saw last year moving forward, but I don't know that there's – I don't know if I believe in that 100%, that I'm completely on board that Markkanen is the guy that we saw all of last year. And I think you said it best, that Utah should probably be better than they were last year if Markkanen's at the same level. But I think a lot of the teams around them have continued to get better, which means I don't see them finishing any higher than what they did last year, and probably they could finish worse than they did last season. So they might be a better team this year, and they may end up finishing with a worse record just because of the way that the conference has played out. And then the last team that we haven't talked about, I believe, is the San Antonio Spurs.
Wemby, done.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do – now, look, I have not watched an entire game to watch him every minute to see what he's doing. But what I do know is the highlights that you see of what this guy does is – the highlights are completely ridiculous. The things that he's doing at his size are things that – we have never seen anybody his size remotely even attempt to do. And we've said it before, but if he stays healthy, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be the rookie of the year. How many games are they going to let him play? San Antonio is not going to be intentionally trying to lose games, which is why I didn't put them in the tankathon. They could very well finish as the worst team in the Western Conference, or I could see if it looks like Wemby is as dominant as he could be and has a bigger impact on winning than maybe we think, that maybe this team just says, hey, let's compete. Let's try. Obviously, they have a winning culture in San Antonio, but still, I think there's some value in young players contributing to winning. And I don't see the Spurs putting that situation where, okay, we're going to try to play Wemby for 50 games and these other guys are all going to sit out and we're going to end up trying to win 20 games. I don't see that happening. And
yep.
Wembanyama is too good. I mean, this guy, if he's healthy, he's good. And how that impacts winning as a rookie this season, I don't know, but I know it's not going to be very long before he's having a big impact on winning.
I mean, it's all going to depend on how many games he plays.
Yep.
Done.
Agreed.
That's all I really need to say.
Yeah, I agree. And whether that's injury or whether that's load management, either one. So, and the Wizards.
All right, well, that was
a fun
exercise.
The Wizards, clearly 30th. Clearly team number 30.
Yeah, clearly
number team number 30. Good luck, Wizards fans.
All right. We did it, Mike.
We did it.
Now it's time. What happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy? You know what that's from, right, Mike?
No, I have no idea.
Full House?
Who?
San Francisco.
Okay.
It was the song.
Oh, that was the
what
song?
Whatever happened to predictability?
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm not a singer, so I guess.
I got nothing on that one. I mean, I probably would recognize the theme song because I will say that I, at some point, watched some Full House. So I do know the show.
Anyways.
But
the Browns. Being the 49ers, like listen, I know they won because the 49ers were very Brownsy. But to be fair, I mean, that whole game, even when we were losing, I felt like we completely dominated them and we couldn't do anything about it. I just felt like it was a weird sense of calm that I had through most of the game, even though I was pacing a lot. Like, I just felt like we were the better team in that game, even though we didn't have our starting quarterback. We didn't have our starting running back. We didn't have our starting lineman. We lost one of our corners. We got a guy who burned half his face off. Like, I just felt like we were the better team that whole game. And that's a weird position to be in, to be a Browns fan and think that, especially against a team that hadn't lost yet. But I just, like, watched it. And the weather played perfectly into it as well. It was just a crummy day. Of course, McCaffrey goes down and their one wide receiver goes down. But I just felt so good, and I think I would have even felt good if they lost that game. Honestly, I would have felt good about where we were at, considering all the pieces we were missing. Obviously, it feels better to win, but yeah, that's my take, Mike. I was in a very good spot, a feeling spot on Sunday. I'll leave it at that.
All right, I'm just going to tell you I have 2 points to make, I guess. One's a story and one's just a point. So point number one is this defense is clearly – this defense is dominant. I mean, San Francisco could do nothing with them. I know they went down the field on the first drive, but this defense is good. And
Mike, they've given up 51 first downs, okay?
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I mean, what they did
on the season
– yeah.
The league average – do you want to take a guess at what the league average is?
78.
111.
Okay, there you go. So,
and we've given up 51.
Yeah, look, this is a defense. This defense is at the point where you're starting to talk about or look at if they stay healthy, statistically at least, and that they're among, I've said it before, that you could win with below average or average quarterback play if you have a historically great defense, and we might have a historically great defense. We honestly might. I mean, the evidence all points to that.
So what you're saying is bring back Maker?
No, no thanks. No thanks. But
I'm just giving, no, I'm just
no,
joking.
No thanks. No thanks. So my second point is that as I was watching that game, right, and the Browns have a 19-17 lead and the 49ers get the ball back, and I turned at that point and I said to Meredith as we were watching the game, I'm like, I feel really good. There's no way San Francisco is going to go down the field and score. There's just no way. The defense is playing too well. And I can honestly say I don't remember. Maybe there was a moment at some point in my history of Browns fandom, but I don't remember ever a time where I said, this team is actually going to get it right. They're going to do something. I feel completely confident that they're going to stop the 49ers on this drive. Now, of course, they didn't. The 49ers went right down the field. And if they don't blow a chip shot field goal, the Browns lose. All right. On that note, let's leave it there. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.